We want to greet every single person who's joined us through the web and through television. And I just believe that God is going to speak to each one of your lives. We're in a series, I Have a Friend. And there's things we have a heart for towards our friends. There's things we're praying for, we're believing for. Maybe we are the friend that we're thinking about. And so we're going to talk for a few minutes today about I have a friend who's sick or I have a friend who's suffering. We believe that God can touch lives and that God cares about those in pain. So I believe God's going to speak to your heart today and bring encouragement into your life as well as increase your strength to be a blessing to those around you in your life. Church, why don't we welcome all those who have joined us through the web and through television. Thanks a lot for being with us today. I have a friend who is sick. Growing up, I was not real comfortable around sick people. I don't think that's unusual for adolescents. For teenagers, it just kind of weirds you out a little bit. You don't understand it. You're not around it. Some teenagers are, but the majority of it's just something you don't talk about a lot, something we don't completely understand. I was around it a little. My grandmother and my mother, my grandmother got sick and my mother helped take care of her for several years. And so I was in and out of that situation. I didn't really understand. And sometimes when I'd go in there and my grandmother was struggling with some things, I just felt really, oh gosh, I didn't feel at ease. I felt uncomfortable around it. But then when I was about 25 years old, my father got sick and had a brain aneurysm and went into a coma. And so immediately, even though I had not been around those that were suffering in an intimate way or in a close way, all of a sudden now I was compelled by love and compelled by the honor and the privilege to take care of my father and to be there for him. He got sick and was in that coma for 6 weeks. My mom, his sisters, and Delenn and I, we did all we could to take care of him, bring him comfort. I would take the night shift. Delenn and I would, or just I would stay later. My mom and my sisters would take care of the day. And so he was deteriorating down, and the hospital came to us and said, you know what, really, he's not going to get any better, and it's going to get worse. And so in a couple three weeks, we're going to have to put him in a nursing home or some type of rehabilitation hospital. But we're going to let him be here, and really, you're going to need to take care of him. Of course, we're going to check on him, but I totally understood. Hospitals doing everything they could. They had other patients that were in another situation, so they had to put energy towards them. And immediately it was interesting how I went into a mode of doing whatever it would take to take care of my dad. Even though I had felt uncomfortable before, even though I didn't understand everything there was, I just immediately, there was something that triggered. And I just jumped into doctor nurse mode. And it was amazing how God changed me during that time. And he transformed my heart and my ways of doing things. He transformed it from that uneasiness to a confidence, from the awkwardness to an aggressiveness. And I actually began to feel at ease with all of this. I mean, to the point that, you know, I'd be kind of jumping in there and helping take care of my father. And there'd be times the nurses would come. I'd say, here, I'll do that. I'll help him. I'll do that. And my father was not responsive. So I would be in there with him and nurses would come in. I'd almost start speaking for my dad or telling him kind of how he's feeling, how he's doing for the night. Doctors would come in and have a conversation. I just butt in right in the middle of, excuse me, let me just tell you what I'm feeling here and what we need to do here. Many times, at night, I would go find what I needed. So I would end up down in the nurse's station looking behind the counter or down like in a linen closet or like in the doctor's lounge, you know, getting a Diet Coke. And I just kind of took my way. I'd be down in the, you know, belly of the hospital trying to find something. And, you know, I know how to take care of it. And it's amazing that during that time, how God just helped me. And I was able to talk to people in the cafeteria, in the hallway. I could just, just listen and we'd talk about different things. How God transformed me to the point of feeling so at ease about helping and trying to do my best to be a part of that. Now, what's interesting is that how I look back now, some 20 years later, and now I feel totally at ease. I feel, I feel great among those that are fighting through sickness. And, you know, I'll go to the hospital now and visit people in our church. And sometimes I get right up in the middle. They need some. I'm all up in there. IV machine. Beep, beep, beep. Here, I'll take care of it. I can silence it. I ain't scared. I mean, you need me to give you a shot? Come on. Let's go right now. We'll go right now. I mean, I've just gotten involved with it and been a part of it. There's times I'm in the hospital room and the doctor's there talking to the patient. I interject like, Can I just tell you what I'm feeling here? Tell you what I sense. I remember one time I was in the room with the family, and it was just her, or it was an elderly lady and her daughter. They didn't know what to say, and I just jumped in. Here's what I think we ought to do. I remember the doctor looked at me. He's like, now who are you? What's your relationship? I was like, I slept in a Holiday Inn. What are you talking about? I was like, I'm her pastor. You know, it's so, you know, you think about that. I have a friend who's sick. How do we handle it? Question is, how did Jesus do around the sick? How did he handle being around the sick? How did Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the world, healthy, strong, amazing, answer to everything, how did Jesus do around those that felt pain? How did Jesus work with those that suffered, even though at that point he was not? He was perfect in every way. How did Jesus handle those that fall through sickness? And so for starters, I want to look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 15. This is kind of a big view of how Jesus cared and had compassion on people that go through things. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, and the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion. I have compassion. I love this scene. I think this scene helps us as a church with who we're supposed to be. I think it helps define us as a church of how we are to receive and how we are to be open to reach out to people. I love the scene. It's one of my favorite scenes of Jesus sitting there in the middle of all that, feeling comfortable and feeling totally at ease with all types of problems, all types of issues. And I love reading it in the Message version, and I'll read this to you. And I just want you to kind of let this sink in. I believe this kind of, you can see it with your mind's eye if you want to shut your eyes and think about this. But I just want you to see this and see how Christ handled those who suffered. It says, after Jesus returned, he walked along Lake Galilee and then climbed a mountain and took his place ready to receive visitors. They came, tons of them, bringing along the paraplegic, the blind, the maimed, and the mute. Watch this, church. All sorts of people in need. And more or less threw them down at Jesus' feet to see what he would do with them. What are you going to do with them, Jesus? We don't know what to do with them. What are you going to do with them? The Bible says he healed them. When the people saw the mute speaking, the maimed healthy, the paraplegic walking around, the blind looking around, they were astonished. Let everyone know that God was blazingly alive among them. But Jesus wasn't finished with them. He called his disciples and said, I love this. I hurt for these people. I hurt for these people. If everyone know what God is like, if everyone know what Jesus feels about those that are sick or those that are suffering or those that go through things that maybe we've never gone through or walked through things that we don't understand, that's a great picture of God reaching all types of different people. There are so many types of hurts and pains and ailments that are going on. If you just imagine yourself putting yourself there, Jesus is at the center and Jesus is reaching out to all different types of problems and he feels at ease among it. Now, all over the gospel, you can see these medical encounters that Jesus has just over and over again. You see these different times where Jesus has an encounter with someone who is sick and suffering. There's high fever, skin disease, withered hands, sick to the point of death. Maybe there are those that have an unexplainable situation or family issues. There's the epileptic, there's the paralyzed, the blind, the deaf, the poor, the demon-possessed. There are those that have this fatal combination of sickness and over again. And Jesus responds. But you know what's interesting is that Jesus would take on all these different cases, all these different situations. But and he would bring healing to all of them. And the thing that would surprise us is that the variety of responses that Jesus gives to each person. He doesn't have like a magic pill or there's a magic formula that takes care of every single thing. You just line up, pop the pill, everybody's good. He looks at each individual and almost, gives a analysis and gives a solution and gives an answer that is a custom fit answer for that person's problem. Why would he take the time to do that? Because he cares about people. All different kinds of people. All different kinds of people with all different types of combinations of things that are going on in their life. I mean, at one, he would rebuke the sickness. Another, he would stretch out his hand. He would spit and take him aside. He power would go out of him. He would touch the coffin and he would teach. He would pick them up and all these different things, different sicknesses and different struggles going on and different variety of solutions that he had in the doc bag for each person. But you know what the common thing was? That when the healing took place or whatever took place, he wanted to make sure that they gave glory to God. Amen. And I think it's the same today. We don't understand healing completely. We don't understand how it all works. And there are things that go on and there are things that happen. And there are all types of different sicknesses and all types of different solutions. And God is here to bring healing. We believe in the supernatural power of God. We believe it's not gone, that God is still bringing healing into people's lives. And there's a variety of ways that God will do it. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's progressive. Sometimes we don't understand how it all works. But I do know this, no matter what God does in our life, He wants to make sure we're aware of Him and that we bring Him glory. At the end of all of it, whatever takes place in our life, whether we walk in our healing or we struggle through something, at the end of the day, He wants to be known among us. It's got to be about Jesus. I just love that. I love that. I love that. There's a great scripture. We've looked at it as a whole. But now I want to boil it down to one scripture in John chapter 9. One chapter, John chapter 9. Because this is where it gets to an individual. Now here's what's interesting. Turn to the book of John. Book of John. John has 21 chapters, 21 chapters, 21 chapters. Am I right or am I wrong? Somebody look at the Bible real quick. Am I right or wrong? Is it 21? Is it 23? Is it 16? How many would say it's 21? Can I have a good amen? It's 21. 21 chapters. 21 chapters to tell the story. Here's one of the most amazing things. John chapter 9, a whole chapter, is devoted to one individual. As I thought about that, I got 21 chapters. I got to tell a lot. I got to say a lot in 21 chapters. Holy Spirit's got to reveal a lot. I don't know if I would give one individual a whole chapter. Maybe a few verses, but a whole chapter, that's kind of overkill. Let's kind of get along with it. Let's deal with some other things. Can you put a few scriptures in about the stock market? Can you help me know who to marry, blonde or red? Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Why 21? Why one chapter out of 21 chapters about this? Because God cares about people. He cares about individuals. And He has an answer for your life. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. This is a great story. This is a classic encounter that Jesus has with an individual. Love it, love it, love it. John chapter 9. Let's find it in my Bible. Here we go. As He went along, this is Jesus, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. He sees a man sick. He sees a man that has this challenge. He sees him. You know what I love? I love that Jesus will see people that nobody else will see. He will notice things about individuals that nobody else will notice. He has time for people sometimes that we don't have time for. When He went along, He saw a man that was blind from birth. So Jesus sees him. Jesus is walking. His disciples are with Him. He sees him. He's looking at him. The disciples obviously notice that He's looking at him. And so the Bible says that the disciples ask Him a question. Have you ever asked a question because it was a little awkward? It was a silent moment. You're with somebody you barely know. You kind of know. And you ask a question. And you throw a question out there thinking, okay, that could have been dumb. That was stupid. What do I do? You just blurt something out. What did you just ask me? What did you just say? Nothing. I was praying. You know, sometimes you just ask a question And it's like, why did I say that? Oh, my gosh, why did I ask that question? This is one of those moments. Jesus is looking at the blind man, and it says, the disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his mama and daddy? That he was born blind. So Jesus sees a blind man. He's walking along. The disciples notice that he sees a blind man. And they just blurt out this question. He's right there. Who sinned? Who sinned? This guy or his parents did? We want to know who sinned. And I just think, what? Is that the right question? Is that really the right thing to go over right now? I wrote this down. I stuck a sticky note in my Bible. You know, I said, never mind the man is a beggar, living on the streets, homeless. Never mind he has spent his life in a dark cave. And never mind he's right there and he hears you talking about him. Let's just still ask a theological question. Sometimes it's easier to talk about a person than it is to help a person. Sometimes it's easier to label than to love. Can I tell you something? That's the best that Pharisee religion can give you. That person has a problem. That person's wrong. That person has an issue. That's the best religion has to offer someone. What's wrong with you? It's got to be your mama and daddy. Good. Live in it. Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. Why would you be worried about that? How could you see that? Out of everything you could notice about this poor man, you notice that? Goodness gracious. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus said this, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to bring him into the light. I just don't want to talk about his problem. I just don't want to bring his problem into the light. I want to bring him into the light. Because he matters more than his problem. Is anybody hearing me? Can I have a good amen? Amen. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. I never heard of that. It's like a holy mud pack. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent, so the man went. He washed, and he came home seeing. What a great day. The disciples would have stood there all day long. Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? Well, I'll tell you what. And Jesus says, go get your sight. Go get your sight. And the disciples would still be discussing how many angels can sit on a pinhead. And the man's washing, getting healed. And now he sees. He's lived in a dark world. And now he sees. Now you would think that's the end of the story. Woo! Yeah! But it's not. It gets even more bizarre. His neighbors, those who had formerly seen him begging, asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, nah, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am that man. Look what they asked. How then were your eyes open? How did it happen? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I can see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I can see. I don't know. It's interesting the things that people focus on that are crazy. They are so busy being skeptics that they miss the supernatural. That don't solve their problem. You know what they do? It gets even crazy. You wish you'd just stop in the neighborhood. They brought them to the Pharisees. Oh, this is going to get great. Bring them to the Pharisees. Woo! That's going to bring some great solutions. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud open the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Okay, this is a problem. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud in my eyes, the man replied, and a wash. I've said this 800 times. And now I can see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Rules, 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 rules. Rules, what about the rules? Rule keeper, rule keeper. Don't you see the man that was homeless, lost, has now got a miracle? Is not the miracle more important than the rule? It's just interesting, the dialogue that goes on here. Others ask, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes open. And the man replied, I think he's a prophet. The Jews still not believed that he was blind and received a sight until they sent for the man's parents. Now they got to get his mom and daddy involved. Go get his mom and daddy. Parents show up. Is this your son, they ask? Is this the one they say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son. The parents answered, we know he was born blind, but how he came to see now or how his eyes were open, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. We would ask that at this time you would respect the privacy of the family. Please respect the privacy of the family. Mom and dad are throwing son under the bus. Because they are intimidated by the religious people. Don't ever let someone intimidate you about what God has done in your life that you know for sure he's done in your life. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't care if you don't know about it. I know about it. Don't let the religious and those that don't understand shut down what you know God has done. How you know God has helped you. How you know God has been there for you. Don't be intimidated by those who don't see it. You know, it's interesting. This man got his sight, but the Pharisees got more blind. Yeah. I wish I had an organ in this church. Yeah. Just having church up on the platform all by myself. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Would you like his phone number to become a disciple? He's had enough. Tired of talking about it. My life has been changed. Questions. All I know, I was blind and now I see. I'm tired of all the questions. It's amazing. They go on. They end up doing this. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. Great, thank you. And how dare you lecture us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Best thing that ever happened to this guy was he got thrown out. Because when Jesus heard they had thrown him out, he went and found him. Jesus is, he always looks for those who've gotten thrown out. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody here who's ever been thrown out of something? And he looks for those that have been thrown out. He finds this man, says, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man asks, yeah. Tell me who. Tell me, I want to believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is speaking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in you with all my heart. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I believe in you. I can see you and I believe in you. What a great encounter of a Savior and a person that was sick. It can show us a lot about life. I wrote down a couple statements. Here's the first thing to remember. Sometimes people say all the wrong things. And that's life. Sometimes when you go through something, people will say insensitive things to you. Don't lose your focus on Jesus because somebody says something crazy. You know, you fight through, say, yeah, I feel like I got these symptoms. And, you know, the doctor told me this. Oh, gosh, my aunt died 2 months of that. God, thanks. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, everybody I heard's got that died. Great. Wow. Is it contagious? Kids, get in the car. We got to go, babe. We love you. I'll email you. Email you a prayer. Because I ain't come back over here to this house again because you dying. In life, when you go through sickness or you have struggle, sometimes people say all the wrong things. Second thing, God is drawn to sin. I'm sorry, God is drawn to the sick so that the sick can be drawn to God. And God is drawn to pain so that those in pain can be drawn to Him. That's an amazing thing. So if you're in pain or you're going through things, God's arms are wide open to you today. Here's something else. Number three, sometimes people misunderstand healing. There's so many voices. If this man would have gotten sidetracked due to the misunderstanding and the many voices and the things that were unexplainable, he could have missed his miracle. There are things about miracles and there are things about healing that are unexplainable. I don't have to believe, or I don't have to understand everything I believe in. I've been married to Delin 20 years. There are sometimes she'll say something I do not understand. But I'm going home with her. She's fine. She's my girl. In life, sometimes you don't understand things. But it doesn't mean you don't believe in it. I'm okay with believing in things I don't understand. I'm fine with that. I don't understand how I could talk on the phone to somebody in India on a cell phone and it finds my little signal, and or I can text somebody in Sri Lanka today in just a split second, but I'm still going to text people. Okay, so it's things are unexplainable, and that's okay. The fourth one, sickness and healing will cause a lot of questions, and that's okay. That's not a big deal. Do you know what? Jesus has never been threatened by questions. He does not throw anybody out of the classroom because they raise their hand. I have a question. Get out of my classroom. Don't ever raise your hand again. He wouldn't do that. Jesus has answers to questions. They may not be the answer we're looking for, but they're the answer that we need. So we don't. Sickness and healing would cause a lot of questions. It's okay. The fifth one, all suffering in the world is not due to sin. Remember that. Just because something is wrong with you doesn't mean something is wrong with you. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean you're wrong. The Bible clearly says right here, all suffering in the world is not due to sin. There's just sin in the world, craziness in the world, and things happen. Number six, don't judge the sick, serve the sick. Quit judging the sick, serve the sick. When I was with my father one day, there was somebody who walked in. And they looked at me and said, your dad would get up out of this bed if you had more faith. The problem is you have no faith. Do you know what that did to me? I'm in there caring for my dad. And that man looks at me and says, he's in the bed and he may die because you have no faith. I mean, I went into a depression, struggling. My father passed away months later. That still haunted me. Till one day the Lord just got a hold of my heart and said, that was not me. That was him. Not everybody, not everything that comes out of a Christian's mouth is God's word. And I just felt like the Lord said, that wasn't me. That's not me at all. Why? Because you don't judge the sick. We serve the sick. We listen to the sick. We pray for the sick. Shh. We're just there for the sick. We're just there for them. And then the last thing, Jesus heals. What's the last thing I learned from this story? Jesus heals. That's our answer. We don't understand it, but we believe it. We can't sort it all out, but we sure believe it. We believe Jesus is a healing Jesus. Boy, I love this story. What a perspective. Jesus looked at the man and he says to us today, you are a miracle waiting to happen. Question is, who do you relate to in this story? Maybe you feel like the man born blind. You're outside looking in. You've been labeled. Remember, when everyone else rejects you, Christ accepts you. When everyone else leaves you, he finds you. When no one else will give you the time of day, Jesus will give you the words of eternity because he cares about you. Today, we're going to pray for you. And we're just going to do what the Bible says. It says in James chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. I'm going to pray for you and get ready to pray for you. That way faith is going to grow. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. That's a great thought. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. We're just going to do the Bible today. We're going to believe that scripture. We're going to believe that Jesus is going to touch people and going to bring healing into lives. Inside, physical stuff, maybe things that, you know, that would be like things, effects of different things in our life. I love how it says there. Let me read it again. Is anyone among you sick? He should call the elders of the church, pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. This is great. And if he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. So it may be physical things, it may be things, God, I can't believe I did this to my life. Why did I do this? Why did I make that decision? It affects now my family, affects of my life. Well, God can bring healing into your life.